Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Leo Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. If you're not already a subscriber to the series, I do hope you take a moment to hit that subscribe button before we get started here. And again, you can do that anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, like iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe at Spotify, at YouTube. There's probably a bunch of other places out there that I don't even know exist that you're listening from that you can also subscribe there as well. And I should also mention I have a brand new show on WFPK. I've moved. If you're a frequent listener, when I was on at noon Eastern, that's changed. I now have the Kyle Meredith With radio show. WFPK.org is where you can hear it Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's a 1-hour show. You'll hear some of these interviews, the brand new songs of the day, music news, and of course some anniversary celebrations. That's WFBK.org. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today my guest is Bill Callahan. He's one of my all-time favorite songwriters. That goes back to the very first time that I heard him as part of the High Fidelity soundtrack, the Nick Hornby, John Cusack, Jack Black movie, where Bill Callahan went under the name Smog at the time and had that great song Cold Blood at Old Times, which, by the way, we'll talk about towards the end of the interview. But the big highlight of this interview is he has a brand new record. It's called Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest. It's a double album, 20 beautiful songs that paint a very specific picture of Bill's life these days. He's singing about a surprising domestic turn in his life. being married, in love, and having a new son. Of course, we're going to talk about how that influenced his writing and worked its way into the songs. How he's taken a lot of inspiration from the dreams that he has and also that his wife has had. And balancing all of this new life in his life with the subject of death and how that's important. He is easily one of the greatest lyricists of our time. Talking about the album Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest, it's Kyle Meredith with Bill Callahan.
Hello?
Well, first off, I should just congratulate you because Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest, you know, it's a beautiful record. And the fact that it's a double album or a four-sided record, however you want to say that, I mean, it's a wealth that you've given us here. So congratulations and thank you right off the bat because it is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You know, with the amount of songs in mind, I've read the interviews where you said that there was a time in between that you couldn't really find the muse and the songs weren't coming. But now that, you know, once they did come, there are a lot of songs here. With that in mind, do you find that once they start coming, is it easier these days after having 30 years in the rear view of learning how to write songs?
Writing songs has, like, never changed for me. The feeling and the way that it comes and the way that I work with what's coming. And it's been the same from the first album to this one. And this time it wasn't really a matter of losing any muse or anything. It was just kind of learning how to converse with that muse in an honest way, I'd say. Like, basically learning a new language, kind of, because I was a different person and I was in a place that I didn't really think I would ever be in, which is married with a kid. And it wasn't really a desire or a concern of mine until I met my wife to be. And then it all, like, then I desired those things that I'd never really desired. But then it made me, I just had a whole new structure to my waking hours and my sleeping hours too. But learning to, you know, speak in my new voice and still telling the truth instead of just something that I felt like I was supposed to say as a new father and a new husband. And
I read in one interview, I think you were talking about sort of what you're getting at right now, that you, I don't know if compromise is the right word, but you know, the songwriter that you envisioned, you sort of at the moment maybe wanted to keep it different from the personal self, and at some point you had to kind of give those two in together?
Yeah, I wanted to, because I found myself in a place where in the majority of population has found themselves, and I always felt kind of outside of that by not having a family. And then once you start having one, then you understand all those people that do, even if you don't know them. But if you see them on the street, it's kind of a sudden bond where you can just, you kind of know, it's a window into their world to see a little toddler, as opposed to usually when you pass a stranger on the street, you've got no idea what they're up to, what their days are like.
I remember trying to explain that to someone, and I said, you know, you think you know love or whatever before you have a child, and you think you know what love is, and then you have a child, and it's almost like there was a color in the rainbow that you never knew existed, and suddenly you have that color.
Yeah, it's true. It's just like a different life looks different.
I mean, artists always get asked about how parenthood changes you, as a writer. And most of them, it's just about like, well, now I have to find the time. You know, it is about time management. But I do feel like from the sound of it, it affected you in a much deeper way than just time management.
Yeah. I mean, just at the bottom line was probably time by the time I got to that bottom line. But it was just, first I had to figure out what being a father meant and a husband. But in the end, it's just time that required.
On the more trivial side, you know, how parenthood can affect your writing, but there's also something about how a kid and what a kid is drawn to musically can also affect you. I'll take, you have a song on here about writing, and it's called Writing, and it's a great song, and you kind of mentioned in there, where have all the good songs gone? And I thought about a quote. Jason Isbell had said something to me once about, you know, if a shit comes in, it's going to be shit that goes out. And I wondered, in your case, you know, do you find that your child has been drawn to the type of music that you may not have paid attention to before? Is that infiltrating your world now?
Yeah, I mean, he's not actually, like, when he was really little, he music just because he had no choice. And he liked children's songs now, but he's not an asshole about it. But, you know, I get it. You know, he just wants different things. And I mean, there's a song on my new record that mentions the Hulk, and he's fixated on that because he's fixated on superheroes, like a lot of kids his age. And I tried to play Tugboats and Tumbleweeds for him, which is, you know, largely based on, like, me singing to him at least 80% of it. And he, you know, just, like, left the room. So this, you know, he knows what he wants.
At the beginning of the album, there is a dream of a black dog on a beach. It is also the title of the song there. How much do dreams influence your writing? Because in one sense, a lot of your songs sound something like a dream, but you've written about dreams before. I mean, one of my all-time favorites of yours, Eidmaal Clackshaw, directly goes there. Do you find that happening a lot in your writing, turning to dreams?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, dreams should be listened to, and they're not just frivolous nonsense. And even, like, with that song, I'd had some scraps of those lyrics for several years, and they never really fit it together. But then I had a dream about that image of a black dog and chasing white seagulls in the shadows, and I just realized that one little image brought all the rest of it together in a way. And then Camels on the new album, a song called Camels, is based on a dream my wife had just about camels dying in the desert and dropping to their knees. And it's just like, that's a good image. And then I added to it. I figure dreams mean more than anything a mortal could come up with. So you might as well repeat them to other people.
Especially, you know, having that image of the black dog, because if I remember, you know, I don't know a lot about the interpretations, but I think I remember that being sort of paralleled with death in some way. And there's the camel as well, and the way the album ends. And maybe that would come naturally. I mean, maybe you needed the balance on the record, because at one point you're talking about so much new life. Does death sort of put it on, you know, a level playing field for you?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to cover, on this record, I wanted everything from the most basic human needs and then the loftiest human needs or desires, kind of the earthly and the cosmic and birth and death. And I really wanted to look at things, or look at where I was at the moment, from inside and out and from close up and far away. And I think that's one reason why there's so many songs, because there's just so many different voices piping up.
Well, I'll ask about a couple lines, though, and I hope I'm not getting too personal on this one, but it's such an interesting line that stands out. Did your wife mind the laying out the towel bit of that song?
I thought a lot of people were going to be asking me about that, but you're actually the first. I sheepishly cleared it with her first before I played her the song, and she was fine with it. She liked it.
It's a really personal moment, and I'm honestly going to say, not a specific subject that I've ever heard in a song. And I'll say the word period sex. I've never heard anyone sing about that.
Yeah, well, none of you have.
Even to Bill Callahan. With such a long catalog, so many great records, I don't know how much looking back you do. Do you see all the songs in the albums that they were birthed, or does at some point they all start to blend in a way?
No, they kind of stick. I don't listen to the old records, but I know them very well. And they do, I mean, all the songs tend to, I think a record is embryonic songs, get as soon as they're conceived, kind of, and they're not quite finished. And then the birthing them is playing them for people, either in your house or on the road. So, but then they kind of, the more you play them, start to grow up a little bit and then get an identity that is separate from, you know, their live identity is separate from their recorded identity, I think. And then they kind of become a big family because they're, you know, the songs from different records are all spending time with, you know, the songs from other records, and they have to, they kind of influence each other because they are then what is played together in a set. And so the songs do kind of relax into themselves, I think, as they get exposed to the world.
Two-year records do celebrate sort of their anniversaries this year. I mentioned one of them earlier with Sometimes I Wish I Were an Eagle with Eidmal. And Knock Knock was an entry point for a lot of us, you know, because of the movie High Fidelity, if, you know, you hadn't followed your career before then. And I'll admit that is where I started with Cold-Blooded Old Times. Does having a song that is connected to something like a movie like that, does that change the way it feels to you at all?
It didn't, because I could barely hear that song in the movie. I was like, I know this is the scene where it's supposed to be, but I can barely hear it. So, you know, I don't think it didn't make a dramatic impression on me, like as if it was blaring during the opening credits or something like that. And I didn't. A lot of people told me that that's where they first heard about me, which is great. But I guess it was pre-internet times, and so it's kind of hard to really gauge where, you know, when people, new people were getting on board, right, and how. So a lot of people have said that, but it didn't change my relationship with the song.
It's a great classic that I still love. And you know, I'll leave it with another compliment, The Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest, because there are, I don't mind saying, I'm not overpainting it when I'm saying there are some classics on here right off the bat. And, you know, we started playing, you know, Watch Me Get Married, and it's a great song as well. So again, Bill, congratulations on this new record. It's great to have you back again, and with so much music being thrown at us, I really appreciate it.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Yeah. It's nice to talk to you.
You too. We'll see you around. Take care.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
A huge thanks to Bill Callahan. The new record, it's a double album called Shepherd in a Sheepskin Vest, and it's available now. Before you get out of here, don't forget, I hope you hit the subscribe button. Again, you can do that anywhere you get your favorite podcast. That includes iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as well. And wherever you're listening from, go ahead and leave a comment. Tell me where you are and if you enjoy the series. In fact, you can always give it a review and a rating. Always helpful. After that, you can head to WFPK.org. Again, that's where I do a show every Monday through Friday, the Kyle Meredith With Radio Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can also find some bonus episodes of this series. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.